This episode of the Memory Palace is brought to you by Progressive. Progressive helps you compare direct auto rates from a variety of companies, so you can find a great one, even if it's not with them. Quote today at Progressive.com to find a rate that works with your budget. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Hey, this is Nate, and you are about to hear a special episode. A bonus, I suppose. A little while back, my friends Hrishikesh Hirway and Josh Molina, who host The West Wing Weekly, a fellow Radiotopia podcast, about the TV show The West Wing, and about the politics embedded in each episode, and a lot more. It's a cool show. We're doing a live show in San Francisco, and they invited me to write and perform a Memory Palace episode specifically for their show about a bit of history that popped up in a couple of West Wing episodes, something that has become known as Big Block of Cheese Day, and thought it would be fun to do. And it turned out it really was fun to do. It was both fun to perform and be part of their show, but it was really fun to write. The episode was kind of like a delightful, throwbacky, funny thing. And I figured I'd share it with you guys here. So this is the Memory Palace. I'm Nate DiMeo. Colonel Thomas S. Meacham wasn't actually a colonel. There are no records that he ever served in the military. He was born in the 1790s, so we're talking after the Revolutionary War, and then he was too young for the War of 1812. But it seems that he was a big fish in the small pond of Sandy Creek, New York. A respected businessman, a successful dairy farmer, and now and then the local militia there would do some drills. They'd march about the town green, and they would have Meacham shout out orders to the younger men, and at some point he just started insisting that people call him Colonel, even though he was in no way an actual colonel. And folks went along with it. And so he became Colonel Thomas S. Meacham. And why not? It was 1835. The American experiment was a tremendous success. This was a brand new nation, a place where a white middle-aged dude of property could be anything he wanted to be. And this new nation needed new heroes, men of intellect and ingenuity, men who could bring prestige to these newly united states and help it seize its place in the world stage. Colonel Thomas S. Meacham wanted to be one of those men. So he made a big block of cheese. 1,400 pounds of good New York cheddar. It was a cheese for the ages, made by a man of the age. And it was feted at a festival in Oswego, and that was cool, sure. But a cheese like that, and a man like Meacham, were destined for better things. The world needed to know what he had achieved. And so he resolved to bring the cheese to Washington as a gift for the president. Andrew Jackson was a man of the people, after all. Self-made, rose up from nothing. He was a genocidal monster, too, but let's skip that part and get back to the cheese. Andrew Jackson was a man of the people who could appreciate a big block of cheese. And so in November of 1835, Colonel Thomas Meacham hired men to load a 1,400-pound wheel of cheddar onto a purpose-built wagon. The wheel was 4 feet across and 2 feet tall. It was wrapped in a leather belt festooned with patriotic slogans, befitting this all-American achievement. 46 horses pulled that wagon, and that wonderful cheese and that phony military man to the docks and the banks of Lake Erie, where the wheel was loaded onto the back of a sailing ship. A band played, cannon fire echoed, and Colonel Meacham beamed from the deck, waving to an adoring crowd as the wind bore him southward toward Washington. He was not the first man to send an enormous block of cheese to the President of the United States. 30 years earlier, the town of Cheshire, Massachusetts, made a 1,200-pound wheel, using milk from various cows owned by each of her citizens. It was an act of stirring civic collectivism. They emblazoned it with the Jeffersonian motto, "Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God," and then sent it to Jefferson himself. But Thomas Jefferson was no tyrant. He held himself to a strict policy of turning down every gift so that he could be immune to charges of undue influence from moneyed interests or from dairy products of unusual size. But Andrew Jackson was all cool free cheese. And having accepted this gift from the people of the great state of New York, Old Hickory invited a few friends over. They had some cheese, they hung out a bit, and then they went off into the night, leaving the president alone with a big-ass block of cheese. He had no idea what to do with it, So the thing sat around for 2 years. And as his second term was ending, he and his wife were starting to plan for the move out. There was no way that Cheese was going home with them to Tennessee. So he decided to share it with the American people. Andrew Jackson was nothing if not good at managing his personal brand. And so what would be more Andrew Jackson, man of the people, than opening up the White House to all comers, with food for any and all who were hungry? 10,000 people came to say goodbye to the Jackson presidency, and to marvel at the mammoth cheddar. It is said of that day that the 2.5-year-old Cheese could be smelled on the breeze several blocks away. One Washingtonian dubbed the 1,400-pound, 4-foot-tall wheel an evil-smelling horror. It was eaten in less than 2 hours. It is also said that the scent lingered, that it permeated the floorboards, the curtains, the carpets, and that on a summer day in the White House it could appear suddenly, like Lincoln's ghost, for years to come. The memory of Colonel Thomas S. Meacham, it seems, was less enduring. History loses track of Colonel Meacham, merely noting that he returned to his dairy farm and died several years later. We know nothing of what the president may or may not have said about Meacham and his efforts, or whether they even met. We know Meacham spent $1,200 all told to get the cheese down to Washington, which was a bundle back then. We don't know whether he felt like it was worth it. But he had a day on a boat. When he heard the fife and the drum, heard the cannons boom, saw the crowd wave, proud of their local hero, as he headed off on an adventure, sure that his future was bright and that his name would endure. And let us note for a moment that it does, at least right now, with you as you listen, and that it might linger in your and my memories nearly 200 years later, like the smell of a big block of cheese. This episode of the Memory Palace was written and produced by me, Nate DeMeo, with production assistance from Elizabeth Aubert. I get research assistance from Eliza McGraw. This show is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX. We get our ad serving technology from AdZerk. We get our ad music from JD Sampson. And as I said at the top of the show, this episode was originally produced as a part of the West Wing Weekly, another Radiotopia show from my friends and colleagues Hrishikesh Hirway and Josh Molina. You should find it anytime at thewestwingweekly.com. But if you want to hear the live version of the story I just read, with a couple of different jokes and a couple of curse words thrown in a live audience at San Francisco Sketchfest, you can find that at thewestwingweekly.com. Just click on episodes and you'll get another episode of this show in another couple of weeks. Talk to you guys again. Radiotopia.